Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, May 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Let's go in-depth on that trade deal with the UK. We'll welcome in Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com based in Charlotte, North Carolina. At first blush, Andy, there is that special relationship between the U.S. and the United Kingdom. So reaching a trade deal, given the complexity of trade deals with all the countries in the world, a trade deal with the UK should not be all that difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a nothing burger to some extent because UK runs about a $12 billion trade surplus with the US. If you look at this press conference, very little information came out. I mean, we heard that the US is going to get larger access for US agriculture. That could be beef exports. UK is going to eliminate some non-tariff barriers. They're going to fast track some U.S. goods as far as the imports go. And the interesting thing was, from what I can glean, is that the 10% tariffs for all the countries exporting into the U.S. is going to stay on the U.K. So, there's not a whole lot going on there. The big thing, of course, is this weekend with China and the meetings that are going to happen in Switzerland.
As we watch these tariff deals unfold on a country-by-country basis, what should we look for to determine whether or not this trade deal differs from the status quo that existed before April 2nd?
Yeah, and that's a great point, and that's exactly what we're all going to be doing. Are there significant reductions in non-tariff barriers? We know China had a lot of those. South Korea has some, but not much. And so my guess would be, as we're looking at these trade deals, as they kind of start to occur, you look at what was happening prior and then what was happening afterwards. And if it really made any kind of difference, we already had very low, almost no barriers between Mexico and the United States. Right. So I'm not sure what we're going to get out of that, but we'll see. But yes, that's a great point, Rob. And that's, of course, what we're going to be keenly focused on. Does it really, change anything that would get people excited about what the president is trying to do?
Will markets react positively to a deal, regardless of the substance, or will they react based on what after they see the fine print?
Yeah, I think the key to this is all about China. If they can bring down those tariffs, That's the key. We know that the shippings coming from China have dropped dramatically by 50%, according to some. I think the LA port was talking about that. So within a really short period of time, maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months, companies are going to run through their inventories of what they built up prior to this. And it still takes, on top of that, several months to plan and execute orders. So you still could see a, you know, rapid dwindling of things that people take for granted that they can get from China and other places if we don't get a trade deal really soon. So that's really, this thing's got to happen within the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's more of the time frame, because we think that everybody's going to drop their tariffs pretty significantly. You can handle 30% tariffs. You can't handle 145%.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us today.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Artificial intelligence is slowly starting to replace Google as the go-to tool for online search. We're joined by Chris Stagg, Chief Technology Officer at the E-Group in Chicago. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And I think anybody who spent more than 5 minutes on ChatGPT just to look up information is really stunned at the ease of use compared to the Google user experience today. Because if you Google something, there's just so much paid traffic at the top that it basically makes it unusable. But ChatGPT has that a very clean interface.
Yes, and Google will be adding some of that to its own interface soon, and you'll see that in Bing, Microsoft search engine, and of course, upstarts like Perplexity.ai, which is the most genuine of the search engines that are all AI-enabled. And so, yeah, you'll get a output that looks more like a start of a conversation there instead of just a set of links, which you're right, you are guessing and are likely influenced by the promotions of the paid advertisers there. Instead, you'll get a nice, clean experience that saves you a lot of clicking.
We've been talking about the many ways in which AI will disrupt our current technology experience, and it seems like the biggest one and the most obvious one is doing away with or potentially crowding out the web search experience that we've had since the late 90s.
I think you'll still see the same type of interface. It's just the interaction is going to be much more conversational. So instead of it just presenting those links, it's going to say, here's how to fix your dishwasher right then and there. Or here's how to make the appointment at the doctor's office instead of clicking around and guessing. So you'll still experience that same user interface, but it'll just be a much more natural one. And by the way, that same user interface, the way the AI generations are moving is going to be the same kind of voice interface, too. So when you call into a contact center, instead of it saying press or say one for sales or say two for services, it's going to allow you to just say what you want. And then it's going to have a conversation with you to get you the information that you're looking for without the necessary button presses or waiting in the IVR.
It's interesting. I was talking to executives at a big PR firm in Chicago a couple of months ago, and they were talking about the big win now for their clients. It used to be making sure that their news stories were at the top of the Google search. Now it's making sure that their news stories are cited in the AI summary of whatever it is the person is searching for. So that seems like that is going to be a real estate that's going to be worth billions of dollars in the future, and a lot of people are going to be fighting for control over that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because for all listeners, even if you're not a real techie, if you have a business and you're familiar with search engine optimization, that's under serious re-architecture now, because what's going to happen is you're going to want your either overt or subtle images or text or advertisements to come up in those search results that are presented more like a conversation than a set of links. So what happens to the advertisers and the way they interact is much different. For instance, you could go and pay Perplexity.ai now and be a preferred resource of theirs when they present their nice, clean, and informative answers. Google still has a big advantage there because they have all the back-end plumbing for ads and the content, but it's under duress in the way that those companies that want to advertise with these search engine companies are going to have to go about it. It's more of the way in which you influence the way the large language models, the engines behind these tools, find your information. And it's going to be, to a certain extent, pay to play, but it's also about having good content that these engines go and source from the internet to build their databases. So look for that. And if you're a business owner, you're right, Rob, you do have some worries there in the near future, because this will all change, and the way people find you on the internet is going to be far different than Google.com.
Chris Stagg, Chief Technology Officer with the E Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Author of the new book, Elevate the Enterprise, which you can find on Amazon. Coming up next, what to look for in a first car as the noon business hour continues. And let's switch gears, no pun intended. When buying a teenager their first vehicle, your choice can go a long way in providing safety and peace of mind. Let's get some help from Matt Jones, spokesman for True Car in Los Angeles. Matt, thank you for joining us in what's turning out to be a busy day on the noon business hour. And we've talked about this on the show before, and that is the idea you or I may have grown up in the era of that first car as a high schooler being a beater and maybe a bit of a fingers crossed experience when you get behind the wheel. But today's used cars are of much more higher quality compared to the used cars of yesteryear.
Oh, they sure are. Gosh, they are just so much more reliable, so much more gas efficient. And even though they seem smaller, they're probably safer than the cars that you and I grew up with. So I think the used car market, you've got some pretty good choices out there. The downside is that things are just a lot more expensive compared to when you and I were growing up, when you could find a nice car for not too much money.
I was going to say, in decades gone by, in the 90s, way back when, you could get a used car, in the newspaper or on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Where's a reliable and safe place to go to find a used car today?
Well, everything's digital. You know, True Car has, you know, listings from people all across the country or dealerships all across the country. There's private parties, and believe it or not, Craigslist is still a good place. A lot of people look at places like Facebook Marketplace. But the good thing is, with everything being digitized, instead of, you know, having just, you know, six or seven cars a person could look at in their area, now you can look at hundreds. It can cause a little bit of brain fatigue, but the cool thing is, in some of these digital marketplaces, you can just create some filters and say, hey, I don't want to look at anything under or over, like, you know, $8,000, or, you know, and so you can kind of narrow it down. But everything's digital now. Come to a place like True Car or go to a place like Facebook Marketplace.
And then very quickly, Matt, as a parent, if you want to make sure that your teenager is safe behind the wheel, what is the number one consideration that you should think about when looking for that used car?
Power. You don't want to put too much power in the hands of somebody who's not familiar with it or unable to control it. I would strongly suggest somebody looking for a first car for their kid. I mean, if economics can, you know, flex a little bit, a nice four-cylinder sedan that has ample power but not too much power. We don't want to give people any excuse to really test things out, but we also don't want people driving stuff that are going to get away from them in rain or sleet or snow because they just don't know how to operate 400 horsepower, you know, V8 engines.
Matt Jones, spokesman, True Car in Los Angeles.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
As the noon business hour continues, markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And the markets are reacting to news of this framework of a trade deal with the United Kingdom. And a question I had for one of our earlier guests is the same question I have for you, and that is, how do the markets react to the announcements of these trade deals? Will they react to the substance, or will they just react to the mere presence of an agreement?
I think going forward, it will be the depend on the country. So what I mean by that is, if you got a country like China that, you know, agreed to anything, it's going to be a great day in the market. Let's put it that way, in my opinion. I think right now the reason the market's viewing this is so positive is it's really the first one, and it's one with a major country, you know, a major trading partner already. So I think that that's something that helps momentum. And so I think that what the market's looking at right now is, okay, if you can get one with a country of, you know, some heft, can you continue to do that and build on this momentum going forward? What that also means, though, Rob, is that if something fails or something falls apart, the reaction to the downside will probably be greater than normal, particularly in the first few weeks of this.
Now, when we were talking about striking deals with different countries to bring down or the tariffs that were imposed a month ago around this time, what kind of time limits exist, though? Because eventually, if you were talking about some major trading partners, the U.S. wants to avoid empty store shelves, and that seems like a point of leverage that other countries may have entering these negotiations.
Yeah, I think it depends how many you get done over these next 2 to 4 weeks, quite honestly, because if you're getting some done over the next 2 to 4 weeks, there is a, although maybe more expensive, but at least there's a substitution option for many things. If you can't get a few in a row here, that's where you start to run out of substitution options, and that's when things get a little bit dicier. I think the market will have a bit of patience if you continue to show progress, but you and I both know, after both of us dealing with the markets for many years, the market runs out of patience pretty quickly. And at the end of the day, let's face it, it really is the China one that everybody's focused in on.
It is May 8th. The reciprocal tariffs, that pause ends on July 9th. So you have roughly 2 months to get a number of major deals locked up and knocked down. Can we make that deadline?
Well, I think we're all certainly hoping so. It's a little bit difficult to tell. You know, so many meetings happen behind closed doors. And as you and I both know, you know, these things sometimes go in fits and starts, where things get called off and people, cooler heads prevail, and then they go forward. I wouldn't bet on it happening over the next week or two with China, but I do think, giving a 2 month time frame, everybody knowing the urgency, there's always going to be some gamesmanship that goes on to get the upper hand in negotiation. But at the end of the day, you're still going to have to be frenemies, if you will, because both sides need this.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, retailers are looking at new ways to make shopping easier and faster.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. The retail industry is finding innovative ways to speed up the shopping experience while also making it more customized. We welcome in Carl Prouty, the technologist at Electronics in Glenview. Carl, thank you for joining us today. And let's talk about some of the ways in which technology is shaping the shopping experience. I mean, if I wanted to go buy a refrigerator or a TV, Carl, you would suggest, of course, drive to Apt. It's on Milwaukee Avenue in Glenview. But if you don't have the time and you do have the technology, what are some of the ways that tech is shaping how you buy things?
Big ways that we've implemented is, we have a feature on our website now called Ask Bolt, and that is basically an AI assistant. So we're not open 24 hours a day and at the store. So we want to give our customers the ability to get a good shopping experience even when there's no salespeople here. So you can type in a question and it's going to give you customized answers to what you're looking for. So if you were shopping for a refrigerator, but you wanted a blue one, for example, you can type in, hey, does Apt have any blue refrigerators? And it's going to tell you what different options are available, different facts about them, and then it's going to give you some options, you know, additionally. So you have all these customized ways of finding exactly what you need.
And then the other big component of using tech to ease the process of shopping is facial recognition. I think a lot of people are hesitant about it, but facial recognition is becoming a much larger part of our technological life. I mean, starting with how you unlock your phone.
Yeah, that was that. Apple kind of really set the tone with that and incorporating that in. And obviously, it's a very useful way of opening your phone. It requires less effort. You're not having to remember a passcode every time. It's a little scary having giving technology all that information about yourself, but it also makes the processes a lot easier. And you can really it just helps customize everything. It gives you the ability to organize your day better. You're spending less time having to think about, you know, what you need to do where you have this technology that's able to tell you, oh, you know, you're running out of this. You should get it from the store just based on your face.
And then tell us a little bit more about smart carts and how they move things along.
Sure. Those are really nice. We're starting to see those implemented in really in a lot of grocery type stores is where we're seeing them implemented in most cases. So you have like those Amazon Fresh stores where you can grab things off the shelf, throw them in your cart, and it's going to automatically recognize what products you have in there. And you don't have to worry about standing in line at a cashier. It's just going to know how much you owe. It's going to debit whatever card you have on file with the system, and then you're on your way. So it's just a really easy way to save time.
Now, I would imagine turning this around, this is a great marketing opportunity for the businesses as well, because they know what you looked at. They know what you're interested in. They know about the stuff that you may have abandoned in that cart, and then they could just reach out to you directly and send you an email and just say, hey, what about this? Do you remember this? And find new ways to reach you directly.
Yeah, and it's really effective too, and it can feel a little bit invasive sometimes, but it really is a helpful tool to have because, say you needed something for a party that you're going to on Saturday and you forgot about it, you get this reminder in your email, and now you can go get it. Now you're reminded that you need it, and you know, problem solved. So it is very, very useful to have, and it really just simplifies everything.
The AI assistant, the chatbot, whether it's Apt or some other businesses like that, that could also help you too if you know a major event is coming up. Let's use Mother's Day as an example, Carl. You know Mother's Day is here, but you want to get something that's unique and that has never really been, you've never really given before. It seems like that's where the AI chatbot can really come in handy.
Oh, it's so handy for stuff like that. You can be as specific as you want with your prompt. So that's basically the question that you're plugging into something like ChatGPT. You can say, I want to get my mother something that's flower-based that costs under $20 that you can find locally, and it's going to come up with a whole series of things that you can go out and shop for. It's going to give you links to different places that you can go to purchase the stuff, and it does such a good job of consolidating a ton of information into a really easily digestible format.
Carl Prouty, the technologist, Apt Electronics in Glenview, thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, there's a new player in the long-delayed Lincoln Yards project in Chicago.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new buyer emerges for the Lincoln Yards property on the north side. Let's get the latest now from Justin Lawrence, reporter for Crane Chicago Business. Justin, thank you for joining us today. And this was not much of a surprise, especially since a new bank took half of the Lincoln Yards property several weeks ago.
Yeah. The only surprise might be, you know, how quickly something has come together, although it's not finalized. And this is a Chicago-based developer, JDL Development. They They've built some high-profile luxury kind of towers in River North, Street of Earl, Gold Coast. And so they are speaking with Banco ZK, which is the bank that took over the property from Sterling Bay, which had been, you know, kind of unsuccessfully developing the Lincoln Yards mega development for 5 years now. And so they are, you know, they're doing their due diligence. JDL is, I mean, you know, trying to gather financing, speaking with the city to see what might be possible there and what they, you know, kind of entanglements and agreements with the city they might be inheriting if they do take over. So
now we have three major developments that four actually, if you want to go all the way out to the Southworks, that are kind of in a bit of a developmental limbo. They have a lot of potential, but whether it's Lincoln Yards or the 78 or the Michael Reese Hospital site or the Southworks site, which will eventually become a quantum computing campus if all goes well, it seems like the opportunities are there, but no one really wants to make the first move without there being a major anchor tenant.
Yeah, they need an anchor tenant, and what's maybe not unique, but it's Sterling Bay, or formerly Sterling Bay's Lincoln Yard site, is, you know, the agreement what they had with the city is that the developer would front a lot, hundreds of millions in infrastructure costs to kind of tie in the site to the rest of the surrounding neighborhoods and make development possible there. And they've just struggled to find the financing for that. Remember, these were approved tail end of former Mayor Rahm Emanuel in 2019. COVID pandemic happened a year later and kind of upended the need for office space in the real estate market. So tough timing. Really, I don't think you can fully blame it on that. But yes, like you said, these four projects have been stalled forever. It seems like the U.S. Steel site maybe has the most momentum since there's real funding and a tenant there, but we shall see what happens with these other three.
Justin Lawrence, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.